May it please God to bless us this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the first book of the Kings, chapter 18, and we'll read verse 44. The first book of the Kings, chapter 18, and reading verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. This chapter, which we read together, is of course a very wonderful account of God demonstrating so very clearly that he was and that he is the Lord God. And how encouraging it is to know that we today come before that same God. And you may say, well, why? Because we know it's true. The Lord has said, I am the Lord, I change not. The Lord does not change. He is the same Almighty God from the very beginning of creation. Indeed, in eternity past, he is the Almighty God. And it is our wonderful privilege today to come together to worship this great Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We live in a day when God is treated as a little God, a small God, a God who can be ignored, a God who can be disobeyed. But we come before the great God who must not be disobeyed, who must be revered, who must be followed. And as we read in our song in our opening hymn, the Lord is holy, holy, holy. And so today may we realize the holiness of God and believe therefore that this great holy God is the God before whom all of us stand. All of us are here this morning, and to think and believe that God is here in our midst. Now, Elijah was called to live in a difficult time. Well, I suppose we might say all the time history of the earth has been a difficult time. But here he was, when he had been the one who had said there would be 3 years of drought, 3 years of famine. And of course it had come to pass. And now the Lord had said that he would bring rain upon the earth. It's hard to realize, isn't it? A 3 year period with no rain. We get very concerned, don't we, when there's a very short period without any rain. But to think of 3 years without rain. And so here in this account we see that Elijah called all the people together, all Israel, to come and to worship at Mount Carmel. And also all the prophets of Baal. They were all to come. They were all to be there. And then it was to prove who was the true God. Now Elijah thought he was the only true believer left. He said, I only. In actual fact, he was mistaken, because we know there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. So we must not judge by appearance, like Elijah did. But he then instructed that they might take two bullocks, and that the prophets of Baal would cut the bullock up and place him on wood, and then whoever answered by fire, that one should be the true God. And as we read together, the prophets of Baal, they endeavoured to get their God to bring down the fire. And of course, they could not, because he was not a true God. He was just a mere God of wood and stone. And Elijah mocked them, and he told them to cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, for he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. But it was all to no avail. And then you see Elijah came and he called the people to come near so they might see very clearly what was going to occur. And he rebuilt the altar which had been cast down with those 12 stones. And then he laid the wood and the offering, and then he commanded them to soak the offering and the altar and a trench round it with water, so that naturally speaking there was no possibility of it catching fire other than by a wonderful work of God. And then he prayed, and it's wonderful to know how he prayed, because he prayed and said, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. So there was no doubt, was there, who was the true God? Baal was not a god. Elijah's God, the Lord, was the true God. And the people acknowledged it. And they came and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. So it was very clear who was the true God. And Elijah then said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And it's interesting to realize here that Elijah says such words to Ahab, for there is a sound of abundance of rain, and yet there was no indication of any rain at all. And then we read what Elijah did. He went up to eat and to drink. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Now we can imagine, Ahab had said to Elijah, there is a sound of abundance of rain. There's going to be a great rain. And now all that could be seen was the blue sky. No sign of any rain. And Elijah's here on the top of Carmel, obviously concerned about the outcome. And yet, as we've read previously, he'd been given that great faith to call upon the Lord, believing the Lord would come and send fire upon that sacrifice that it might be consumed. And God did give him faith, and it did come to pass. He did pray, and fire did come down. And we would think, therefore, that this prophet, this man of God, would be exceedingly confident and would never doubt the greatness of God and the ability of God to appear for him. But what do we see him doing? Going up to the top of Carmel, casting himself down on the earth, putting his face between his knees. That wasn't in a very wonderfully proud way, was it? No, he was again depending upon his God to appear and send this rain. And what did he need? Again, he needed faith to believe. And again, what did he need? He needed patience. Faith and patience are often joined together. And God brings them together so that you and I may be found truly praying to God. Not just assuming, well, everything's going to work out all right, everything will be good, no doubt about it. Elijah had to pray for the fire to come, and clearly had to seek to God now that rain would come. And he comes and he tells his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Nothing. That's demoralizing, isn't it? Sometimes when we pray and we expect an answer, nothing wrong in expecting an answer. We should pray believing God will answer. But you see, God doesn't always work in accordance with our timetable. God has His time. God has His way. And so Elijah's servant went up and looked and came back with a report. There is nothing. Well, did Elijah give up? Did he say, well, it's obviously not going to rain. I better go down the mountain. No, he was given that faith to tell his servant, go again 7 times. So we can imagine this servant going up, getting up to the very top of the mountain and looking in the distance, and there is the blue sky. No sign of any rain. Don't give up. This man could not give up. Elijah would not give up. 7 times this servant went up. 7 times. And then we're told it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Well, we can imagine it was very small. Very small. There wasn't at that time a great indication of an enormous rain coming. It was just a very small sign, but it was a very great encouragement. Sometimes we look for wonderful things to occur immediately. Sometimes we have to wait, and then sometimes there is a very small sign. But that small sign in this instance was the indication that there would be this abundance of rain which Elijah had said he heard. And so there was this small cloud. But you see, it was big enough to encourage Elijah to go and to tell his servant to go and tell Ahab, and to say, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Well, it's good, isn't it, to read an account like this and to realize that we need today faith to believe, just like Elijah did all those years ago. See, Elijah was no different, really, to you and me. He was a human person. He had a sinful heart. He needed God to hear his prayer, exactly the same as we do today. And God knows our condition. He knew Elijah's condition. He knew what he would do. And of course, what he did was to fulfill his promise to Elijah in his time and in his way. And what a blessing it is to be given faith like Elijah was given, because rain did come. It was very necessary. They've been 3 years without any rain. It was a pretty desperate condition for them, wasn't it? And sometimes you see we come into desperate conditions. We have here a physical situation, don't we? Sometimes we have a spiritual condition which in essence is more important. You may say, well, why is it more important? It's more important very simply because of this. Here Elijah was able to seek for God to send rain upon the earth. And he did. The earth, of course, was not going to last forever. The Israelites who were living at that time Where can I live forever? It was just something that was necessary at that time. But with regard to a spiritual life, it's not something which is just relevant to a particular time, although it may be, and sometimes it is, but it is relevant to our eternal state. Because if God comes and blesses us, we might say with spiritual rain, it won't be something that will just disappear. It won't leave us then in a condition which is the same. We shall be a different person because we will have been aware that God has come and has sent that spiritual rain, that spiritual blessing into our soul. And it will produce honour and glory to His great and holy name. These people have waited all these years. There it was, a desperate situation. Sometimes we're called upon to wait a long time. A long time, and it may be our faith is greatly tried. In fact, faith is tried. Faith is tested. And it's clear because the definition of faith is not things that you and I see naturally. We don't see things naturally for faith. We see things which we are to believe. And the apostle, of course, gives a definition in the 11th of Hebrews, the first verse. He tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is not something which is tangible, not something you and I can grasp hold of, but we do grasp hold of it by our spiritual life. Our faith stretches out to believe that God will appear, that God will hear our prayers, that God will grant the blessing, which He did on this occasion. This amazing occasion we have recorded in this 18th chapter of the Book of the Kings. And it is a wonderful account, isn't it? And we should be encouraged by it to realise, yes, we today have the same God. So we should never give up. We should never think, well, God isn't going to appear. There's no sign of any rain. There's no sign of any blessing. It just seems to continue as a time of drought, a time of famine. But there was then, at this seventh time of looking, this little cloud appearing out of the sea like a man's hand. And that was the sign of great blessing. So let us not despise a small thing. If you and I have a small blessing, let us not think, well, that's not worth taking any notice of. It was, in this case, because it was the true sign that this abundance of rain would come. And therefore, if the Lord graciously comes, and we may have been looking for a long time, we may have, as it were, gone up to the top of the mountain and looked, nothing. We've gone again, nothing. We might think, where's the scene going to end? Is it worthwhile looking again? And by that I mean this, looking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, is it worth again? Yes, it is. Press on. Again and again. Because God has a set time. God has an appointed time. Jesus tells us, when He was on the earth in the Epistle of John and the seventh chapter of John. And the sixth verse, we read these very simple words in the seventh chapter of John, in the sixth verse. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. So we always want the Lord to work to our timetable. And sometimes, and perhaps very often, it's not God's way. God's timetable and our timetable very often does not coincide. And what we can be sure of is this: God has the best timetable. As God knows when to come. God knew when to send that rain. God knew when to show that sign of that little cloud. And the time occurred and the time came. So the time will come to those who truly seek, because the Word of God tells us, seek and ye shall find. Remember, God's Word is true. Seek and ye shall find. And if we have been seeking after the wonderful knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon Calvary's cross to take away our sins, and we may apparently seem to make no progress, and we prayed and we looked and nothing to be seen, no evidence of any mercy, no evidence of any blessing, carry on. Don't give up. What is occurring? The test of our faith. That's what's occurring. God is testing the reality of our faith. And we have all those instances in the Word of God where the faith of those people that is recorded was tested. God tests us today. Don't think that somehow things have changed. Don't think that somehow it's now going to be easy. No. True religion has never been easy. True religion will never be easy. And the reason is so that God comes, and when God blesses, and when God does come and reveals himself to us as our great and glorious Saviour, we're ready to receive the blessing. We're made ready. God has made us ready to receive the blessing. And then it is that we truly rejoice and bless God for it. In the epistle to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, he wrote some very glorious truths. And in the sixth chapter, towards the end of that sixth chapter, the apostle is speaking about the armour of God. And the 18th verse tells us it's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There is, my friends, a perseverance in the things of God. See, if we were able just to pluck down a blessing when we wanted it, it would be very easy, and we wouldn't pray very much, and God's name wouldn't be honoured and glorified, because we could suit ourselves and we could do what we wanted to. But no, the Lord in his great mercy and love to our soul has ordained that we should seek to find, that we should pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Never give up praying. Never give up praying just because we don't seem to receive answers. Never give up. You see, the Lord waits to be gracious. He waits to be gracious. And when the Lord comes then, what a time of blessing and what a time of rejoicing there is. You know, we have accounts, you can think of that account of Lazarus in the Word of God. The Lord could have gone to Lazarus very quickly to raise him from the dead, but no, he delayed. He delayed. And then when he did come, it was very clear that it needed a very great miracle to raise this man from the dead. It wasn't as though they could say, well, he's only just died, so he probably wasn't really dead. No, he laid in the grave those days and in that sepulchre. But you see, when the Lord came and he spoke those wonderful words, loose him and let him go. Now, in his case, Lazarus' case, it was a physical situation where those grave clothes had to be removed. Loose him and let him go. But what a blessing it is sometimes if we, as it were, are bound up spiritually. We appear to be dead. There doesn't seem to be much life. If the Lord comes and speaks in his time, loose him and let him go. There was a wonderful and glorious freedom. Yes, Lazarus came out of that sepulchre. Came out. The Lord granted that blessing of life again. It was clear that Lazarus was a believer, had been a believer, and now the Lord was to show his great and wonderful blessing to him and to the people, to show that he was the Lord. And this surely is the great benefit for us today. When the Lord comes and blesses, it is to prove the great truth that the Lord, he is the God. To prove to us, without any doubt, that we are worshipping the true God. And that then we go on our way rejoicing. And then we go on our way blessing and praising God for what he's done. When Jesus comes and reveals himself to us as our great and glorious Saviour. What a time of blessing that is. What a time of rejoicing it is. And then we acknowledge the Lord has the right time. As for God, his way is perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes in his timing. And there's often many things to be brought together to fulfill God's timing. Let us never therefore be impatient. You see, the Lord does give patience. What a blessing when he brings that patience to us. Again, we mentioned last Lord's Day, I think, about David in the 40th Psalm, where he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and brought me up out of that horrible pit and that miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Yes, the blessed, wonderful work of redemption is to be evidently seen, which brings praise and honour to our God. And so let us remember David's testimony. And he's able to say, yes, it was God that brought him up. David couldn't get himself out of that hole he got himself into. You see, we aren't able to, but God can, and God does deliver in his time and in his way. What a great thing it is if you and I, like David, waited patiently. We're very impatient creatures, aren't we? We want it now. God has his time. God has his timing. And we can be very sure that his timing is so right and so wonderful when it comes. We can read in one of the little prophecies in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Habakkuk's a very wonderful little testimony, but Habakkuk gives us some good advice. And in the second chapter and the first three verses, he tells us this: I will stand upon my watch. That means he was watching. And set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. You see, it's good to be willing to be taught by our God. Here was Habakkuk, this prophet, speaking in this way: and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. See, there's a statement in Habakkuk's day to prophesy to the people. And encouraging it should be to us today. The vision, the appearance of the Lord, the time of blessing. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. God has an appointed time to favour Zion. He has an appointed time to bless you and me. It is in accordance with his divine purpose, for his honour and for his glory. And he says at the end, it shall speak and not lie. God does not lie. We can rely upon God's word. Though it tarry, yet it may not come at the moment. It's tarrying. Doesn't say give up. Doesn't say throw everything overboard. He says wait for it. Wait for the blessing. Because it will surely come. See, God's word is so blessedly positive, isn't it? It will surely come. It will not tarry. You see, when the time comes, God will bless. You remember the occasion of the Apostle Paul? There he was, pleasing himself, doing everything that was wrong, until that very moment on that Damascus road when the Lord came and struck him down with that light from heaven above the brightness of the midday sun. No doubt, the work of God. The time had come to bless him. We have many examples in the Word of God that times came to bless people. Time came to bring Israel out of Egypt. They've been there 400 years. Long time, wasn't it? 400 years. But God had promised he would bring them out. And they did come. And again, you see, it didn't just happen immediately. Pharaoh had to be shown all those plagues that came upon the Egyptians, and in some cases Israelites as well. And it wasn't until that last plague when the Lord came and destroyed all the firstborn. But the very significant and important aspect of that is, before that occurred, God had instituted what we refer to as the Passover. And of course, that Passover brought the wonderful, or signified rather, the wonderful deliverance of the souls that are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that instance, it was a lamb. All the Israelites had to be under the blood. And you see, the great blessing is today that all of us have to be under the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that is so, then there is deliverance. Then there was freedom. Not until. not until. What a blessing, therefore, if we are brought to know that we are under the blood. Because if we're under the blood, that means that Christ has died to take away our sins. That means Christ has died to redeem us from all our sins. And then you see the great glorious truth is we are free. We are free from that curse of sin because the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore the curse for us. It's a great gospel, isn't it? It's a glorious gospel. So it may be here, as we got in this account here, it may be in our spiritual life, just a little sign. You know, Moses came and told the Israelites that he was to deliver Israel, and there was a wonderful sign, and it was so pleasing for them. But it didn't just occur like that. No, there had to be testing time. A time of faith. The Israelites had to wait while those plagues were carried out to demonstrate the power and majesty of Almighty God. And then you see, at the set time, the Passover was set before them. Maybe in our life, the set time, the death of the Saviour is set before us. You know, people can be very familiar with the Word of God. The Israelites would have been very familiar with all the law and the ceremonies. It was essential for them. You and I may be very familiar with the Word of God. But my friends, deliverance, freedom does not come until we have the evidence that we're under the blood of Christ. Until we know that the Lord Jesus Christ died to redeem our souls. Then you see, there is a deliverance. Then there is that blessed freedom. Then there is that wonderful joy to know that we are amongst those whom Christ has loved with everlasting love. Well, don't despair. If you're looking, if you're seeking, and there is, after some while, perhaps initially, there's nothing, don't give up, then you may see just a little sign, just a little indication, the Lord is hearing your prayer. The Lord is going to bless you. Press on, because be assured, the blessing will come, an abundance of rain. Oh, there was no more famine then. No, there was a time of wonderful blessing. So it might be so in all of our spiritual lives. A time of wonderful blessing. Perhaps just a little sign to start with. Well, don't give up. As soon as Elijah saw that, as soon as he saw, was told by a servant, there was this little cloud which ariseth from the sea, just like a man's hand. He said, Go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Ah, there was the sign. There was the sign. And so we have really great encouragement today in these words to pray unto God, to seek unto God, to not give up, to keep on looking. The word of God tells us, isn't it, in Isaiah 45, look at verse 22, look unto me, everywhere else, look unto me, don't rely on people, look unto me, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. What a blessing for us today to have such a God to go to. A God who does hear and answer prayer. Remember, He gives grace. He gives more grace. He doesn't give a surplus of grace. But he gives us grace to wait, to have patience, to press on, to not give up, and to believe that the blessing will come. Elijah had faith to believe. God's servants have faith to believe. May you and I today have faith to believe that it is and it will be well with our soul, eternally well, and that only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood upon the cross at Calvary to redeem our souls. A cause for rejoicing, a cause to praise and bless our God. Amen.